All politics are local, goes the old saw, and I have found all sermons are equally local. I was going to, every Wednesday we go and preach. One of us from the staff goes and preach at Mount Vernon Towers. We have a Eucharist over there for the retirement community. We have a lovely group of 12 folks most Wednesday. And I was preaching this week, preaching this sermon, and I thought I would start off talking about Statler and Waldorf, the two grumpy old Muppets that sit in the balcony. If you remember those two guys, they're the ones who always make snide comments and are always fussing about something, usually something along the lines of, what's the best part of this show? I don't know when it's over. They're sort of all goofy and grumpy and fussy. And I was going to try and cast myself as the grumpy old man with them and just sort of say, I feel like Statler and Waldorf, and I said, I am 45 years old. And they immediately say, oh, you're just a baby. Oh, how cute. Oh, you're just nowhere. And I was like, oh, that's not, I meant to go like I'm getting older. But they saw it, again, all politics are local. They saw me as the young man, which was fine. Still got through the sermon, but it was just sort of a funny moment. Statler and Waldorf are those grumpy old guys. I've been working in the church for 22 years now. And sometimes just feel like the grumpy old man, but especially there are times like today's feast day where I get a little bit more grumpy because I'm not sure exactly what Christ the King Sunday is. That is, we live in a country that has a president. We don't have to deal with kings or dictators or those kinds of things. We have a whole different system, and it's, well, not pretty much, completely the Old Testament view, and even the New Testament view of kings is entirely different and outside of what any of us know. But even more, what is strange to me is Christ the King Sunday is a new invention in the church. There are things we do that are 2,000 years old. Christ the King Sunday started in 1924 with Pope Pius, who was frustrated after World War I watching all of these earthly kings fight each other and kill each other, and said, we need to be reminded that Christ is the real king. It's a pretty good reason to come up with a holiday, but it didn't quite fit. It didn't make it over to the Episcopal Church until 1970, so it's really 45, 50 years old. It's a new feast day. And I suppose on one level, it is the way we're supposed to end our year. This is the last Sunday in the Christian calendar. Next week we start Advent, the new Christian year, and we count down the days to Christmas. But today is the end, so we're reminded again of who's in charge. But I just personally have a problem with this idea of, well, Christ is king. Christ is monarch is maybe not a bad thing, but when you start getting into despot and authoritarian and he who shall follow the rules, it just doesn't speak to me of God as one who loves and redeems and cares. Kings can do that, I guess, but they seem to be more involved with enforcing rules than always engendering an embrace. Then we have our gospel reading, which is literally Good Friday. It is that moment where Jesus hangs on the cross, and it is not exactly the image of a king. It is not one with all the power in the world and one who will dominate and control. And instead, it is the one who is betrayed and abandoned and sacrificed and lost. It is an interesting thing because we end up with being here in the Bible Belt. I'm sure you've all heard it. You have that saying that goes from our Southern Baptist friends, Jesus died for your sins. Technically, we believe that as well, but not necessarily the way that it's always taught around here. It's called substitutionary atonement theory, is the theology behind it. It's the idea that because you sinned, each of you were bad, Jesus had to die to pay for that sins. That was the only way for God's honor to be slacked and abated, was through blood sacrifice, through God killing God's own son. I don't really like that theology because it means God is pretty bloodthirsty and ornery and mean. There's another theology that still says God, Jesus died for our sins. It's just Jesus died for our sins to reveal our sinfulness, not in quite the same way. That is, we kill Jesus just fine. That is, us humans do it just fine because we are the ones who set up the boundaries and the rules and the laws that then says certain people are in and certain people are out. Jesus came among us and taught over and over again about all those who should be loved, and it included the ones that are still on the outside even today, prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors, criminals that he happens to be hanging between in his last days. All of these people are outside the rules. All these people should be pushed aside, and only the good people go to heaven. Only the good people make it. And really, if you're honest, that's why both Rome and the religious authorities of the day killed Jesus, is because they didn't like that he was messing up all the rules. He was making a mess of things. And so where Jesus said, I love you and I care for you and I want you to be part of this kingdom, they said, no, you're messing it all up, we should kill you. And so in that last moment, what we see from Jesus is not one who serves as king, one who's enforcing the rules. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Jesus, if he is truly understood as this all-powerful being, probably could have just said when they started to put him on the cross, no, not now, not ever. My armies will come and destroy all of you. But instead, he says, I forgive you. God, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And then, sitting between two criminals, one says, one mocks Jesus, and the other, well, asks for forgiveness. And in the Episcopal Church, let's be honest, we have our rules for who is in the church. You have to be baptized, you have to be confirmed, you have to pledge, or known to the treasurer. One of my favorite terms in the canons, you have to be known to the treasurer. And you have to come to church. There's a whole list of things it takes to be part of God's kingdom that we preach and teach and share, and they are good things to understand. But Jesus is not concerned with any of those things on the cross. The man says, remember you when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' last words are, you will be with me in paradise. Not, you have to get baptized, let's get you down from here and make sure you get everything right. But all is well. You are loved. For me, when we talk about Christ the King Sunday, when we talk about what does it mean for Jesus to be in control, it is for someone who loves us relentlessly and forgives us for all the stupid things we do. One who reveals that violence is not God's violence, it's our violence. There is no such thing in God's kingdom as sacred violence. It's okay to kill this person or that person because they're all God's children. In God's kingdom, it is all love and embrace. And regardless, we are forgiven no matter how stupid we are. And yes, the tax collectors and the sinners, the prostitutes, the criminals are all part of God's kingdom. And heck, right now in our world, yes, everyone, even everyone in Washington is still part of God's kingdom, even if they're all driving us nuts. That is the God we worship and we glorify in. It is the God that we celebrate this week. And if we really want to talk about Thanksgiving, that is something to be thankful for, that God's got it all under control, even if it doesn't feel like anything's working quite right. It is a God that doesn't say, I'm in charge, you have to listen to me. It's a God that instead says, be still and listen and know that I am God. Know that I love you. Know that all shall be well. Know that you are forgiven. And that when I reveal sin, it is yours. And even then, you are loved. If we can do that, then we begin to understand Thanksgiving. If we begin to do that, then we understand that God is truly in charge. Be he king, or as I like to just say, God. If we can do that, then we will truly have a blessed and holy Thanksgiving. Amen.